with Landon Donovan. Everybody's seen the picture of the guy. That's what I look like from the side if I'm sticking my belly out and I'm not trying to look like I'm trim. You know, anytime you get a profile of any man over the age of 25 or 30 and he's not in phenomenal shape, he's going to look fat. Well, I got news for you. I've never seen Landon Donovan look that fat. He looks out of shape to me.
He does. He does.
Now we were explained. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff going on. You tell me what you think is the biggest problem here.
I think this is a distraction issue. I was listening to everything and I've been reading about it. Look, I'm not the biggest soccer guy in the world, but I do watch the World Cup, and I feel like that's what Americans do.
You know? Absolutely.
We don't really pay attention to the MLS, you know, except for Matt over here.
Yeah, every game,
right.
Matt.
I read his Twitter feed. It's just him ranting and raving about DC United. But it's this is the World Cup, so people actually pay attention to this.
Right.
And Landon Donovan, I liken him. This situation reminded me a lot of a T.O. situation.
Absolutely.
Where the guy can still play, but he's obviously a distraction in the locker room, and he's not going. He is either his ego's too big, or he's become too big a personality persona in U.S. soccer that he can't take a bench role. Because there's other guys who are 32 that are on this roster who are not as good of players as Landon Donovan, or at least throughout their career, has been. And we were talking with Matt before the show saying that this is for everybody listening out there who's saying, who the hell is Landon Donovan and what's going on with soccer?
He was captain of the team, right? Wasn't he? And captain.
Clint Dempsey.
Oh, that's right. He's the goalie, right?
He is. No, Landon Donovan is not. This is exactly
this
why.
This comes from an all-metropolitan, all-American high school soccer player.
If you're listening,
that could care less about about soccer right now.
But if you're playing the Bruce Hall Sports drinking game, you just took
that.
Two
is
goals.
Absolutely. Look it up. 1969, Wakefield High School, and we used to call ourselves halfbacks. I was a center halfback. We weren't midfielders then. We were halfbacks. We had halfbacks, fullbacks, forwards. That was it. And a goalkeeper. And we didn't even call
We didn't even play with a goalie.
You know what? We didn't well, you didn't have to. We could have. It's a good thing we had Bob Munson, who was also an all-metro goalkeeper, went to the Air Force Academy, played there, and was all-conference there. Now, if you're 60 years old and you grew up in Northern Virginia, you know who the hell I'm talking about. If you're in New York, you don't have a clue. Hey, all right, we're talking about Landon Donovan. Yeah. He's fat. He took a hiatus. I think the coaching staff is a little pissed off.
Let me break it down because I'm the only one here
I asked you if you wanted to, and you said no. So go ahead.
I said I was busy dealing with some technical stuff. No, what it comes down to is there's a
shining moment right now. Look how nervous he is.
Spotlight on me.
Go ahead.
All right. This is a new coach, newish coach,
who a lot of people are saying may not have the best intentions for U.S. soccer.
I don't agree with that. They've wanted him for quite a while.
Okay. And does he have?
But he's made three major decisions with this World Cup team, and it's Landon Donovan. I guess you have to say is the biggest one, but he's also left off Eddie Johnson, who Ian scored multiple times and has been a huge player off the bench, and Maurice Adu, who's a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That everybody thinks that should be on there.
Landon Donovan's a fan favorite. He's probably the biggest of all fan favorites.
And what it comes down to is that he promised a spot for a kid to sign with the U.S. and not with Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody's kind of about, is that because this guy played maybe one or two games for
the
U.S.
So this is politics.
This is
politics. Okay, let's leave that alone because we want to get a lot in. Mm-hmm. There's even a bigger story than that. If you were lucky enough. Now listen, Ray Rice, Raymel Maurice Rice, who actually won an award on our show. He won the Con Edison Award back when he was in high school.
Which is covered by about five minutes ago.
Still has a lot, a lot of followers. Went to New Rochelle High School, took his team to a state title in 2003, holds the state record for yards in a single game, 462 yards on 42 carries in 2004, went to Rutgers, was a stud there, did real well there, got drafted by the Baltimore Ravens, and the rest is history. I mean, he's had a pretty good NFL career till last year. Last year, had an injury. They said his hip was never right last year. He gained a little bit of weight. Mm-hmm. They had some offensive line problems. I don't think the Ravens averaged 3.4 yards a carry. I think they were around 3 yards a carry, 2.9.
Yep,
which was the worst in the NFL.
They were, absolutely.
They were the they had the worst rushing average. All right, fast forward to Atlantic City earlier this year. Mm-hmm. You know, look, you go to Atlantic City, you go to Vegas. I mean, you know, what goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas, but they don't say that about Atlantic City. That's New Jersey. That ain't Nevada. It's totally different. And evidently, he and his girlfriend, fiance at the time, got into a little heated argument or whatever. She probably, I mean, allegedly she hit at him, was beating on him. He smacked her. Look, it doesn't take much to smack a small woman and render her unconscious. And evidently, this is what, and everybody's seen the video. I mean, it's coming out of the elevator. But, you know, what in the heck was that press conference called for? That was maybe the stupidest thing that he could have done, in my opinion. It's the stupidest thing that the Baltimore Ravens organization, you know, I love the Ravens. I think they're a great organization. They just dropped from a 9.5 to a 6.5, in my opinion. What was that about? You've seen it.
Yeah.
Roy, what do you think?
Well, I get the press releases from the Ravens, and so I've known this is coming for a couple weeks now. And to me, it is the Ravens overthinking themselves. They know that this isn't the last time that we've heard from this Ray Rice situation, but the Ravens all along have talked about how they expect Ray Rice to play, they expect him to be in their week one, and they expect him to be the running back this season. So, but I look at this whole situation with the Baltimore Ravens and them trying to get ahead of the situation, trying to make it appear as if they're controlling this situation, so when it does hit the NFL and it's time for Goodell to make his ruling, he can kind of look at it and say, well, Baltimore held their press conference. They did what they did. They had the wife on. She apologized, and they were ahead of the story. Good for them. Where it turns out bad is the Ravens' Twitter handle and them throwing out quotes. I mean, one of the Ravens' Twitter feed sent out a quote from Ray Rice that said, when you get knocked down, you got to get back up. Well, you just knocked out your wife, and that's what we're talking about somebody who is knocked down. So they created a bigger mess for themselves in trying to put a Band-Aid over a situation that may not have needed one at this point.
You know, at this point, I mean, I consider myself a sports guy. Hell, I have a sports show. I had almost forgotten about it once they got married. Once they got married, I figured, well, she's obviously not holding it against him, or she would have never married the guy. But then they come out with this press conference, and I watched the press conference, and I have seen some of the tweets that quoted his attorney saying that she may have instigated the whole thing. You know what? There's never a reason to hit a woman unless she's going to shoot you in the face with a gun. And in that point, you better not hit her in the face. You better grab the gun or hit the gun, and hopefully she won't pull the trigger. That's the only time it would be okay, as far as I'm concerned. You do not hit a woman. And we got into that argument about a certain quarterback at Florida State earlier this year, and I'm still. It looks like they're actually pursuing that from a civil standpoint and possibly a criminal charge too. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall for Roy Edwards and Matt Lynch. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
On the line now, we have a friend of the show. He is Mr. Football when it comes to pretty much anything NFL. His name, well, you might know him as Bax Football Guru or The Football Guru. He is Russell S. Baxter. He is from Bleacher Report, Cold Hard Football Facts, Player Insiders, NFL Female, Yahoo Sports. He also has a little hangout that you guys can catch him now, First in 60. He is our NFL consultant. He is the man, Russ Baxter. Thanks for joining us.
Gentlemen, what's going on today? Happy Memorial Day weekend.
Happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Same to you, Russ. Listen, I got to tell you, congratulations on 10,000 followers on Twitter. Congratulations on, if I wasn't already following you, I'd follow you again. I don't know how to do it.
Just create a new account.
You know, but well,
we're in the midst of having some fun now. You know, we've actually hit over 30,000 followers.
Yeah, oh, that's 30. Right. 30,000. Yeah. My bad.
What'd you say?
I said 10.
Well, 10.
I don't even even have 1,000 followers. Roy's telling
don't
me how I can
Russ.
Grow. I could. Roy's telling me how to grow my following.
Yeah, 30,000. That's
amazing, Russ. That's awesome.
There's a lot of football fans out there and very gracious, and it's one of the reasons we're doing some giveaways with T-shirts now. You know, basically every 50 new follower gets a ProFootballGuru.com T-shirt, and if you don't get one free, you can buy one. Check out my website because part of the money goes to the American Cancer Society.
Very nice.
Well, I'm going to get one for sure. Hey, listen, Russ, I have a question for you. There's good news and there's bad news always in the NFL. What you've seen so far, you know, with the draft. Yeah, the draft was okay. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was kind of nice that they made Manziel wait for a while. And, of course, now all the news from that. But from a standpoint of getting ready for the NFL season, what's the best good news that you have on the NFL that you can think about?
Well, I mean, you got to like what the Rams did, and I know that's almost obvious because they had two first-round picks, but I'm still one of those guys that believes it's not necessarily a quarterback-driven league because you got to have the car. And the car is the offensive line, and the car can also be the defensive line, and they address both areas with Greg Robinson, which they need to do. We still don't have a definitive timetable on Jake Long either. That's something to keep in mind as they might be moving people around like Roger Saffold, who could wind up back at left tackle if Long's not ready at the beginning of the season. But Robinson was the highest-rated tackle coming out. And then you go down to the 13th pick, and I don't think the Rams expected Aaron Donald to be there, but he was. And now they've got their own modern version of you want to call it the fearsome foursome. You've already heard that out there. You know, Michael Brockers was a first-round pick a couple of years ago in 2012. Chris Long, Robert Quinn, the team that had 53 sacks already last year. Greg Williams is back as a defensive coordinator. If they get a little more consistent against the run, and I'm talking about like top five instead of top 10, they're going to be a dangerous football team. Maybe with the exception of everybody in the NFC West, because everybody in the NFC West is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree, and I'll tell you, Luke Donald had a phenomenal combine. As a matter of fact, he was about the only guy they could talk about at the combine. Everybody was focusing on Clowney, but you know, Clowney is a freak. They knew he had the athletic ability to play in the NFL. They just don't know where his head is. Aaron Donald evidently is as solid as it comes. And he was there at 13. I was surprised he lasted that long. I really don't understand how he made it that far.
Well, here do I. But it all takes is, as you know, Bruce, it takes one or two picks above to send the apple cart, rolling down the hill too fast. And, Blake Bortles was not expected to be a top three pick. I'm not saying he's not. It wasn't a good move. I'm just saying most people would have, maybe put him in top 10, but not the top three. That probably surprised some people. So then one domino falls. Then you take, somebody like Eric Ebron, okay, who was anywhere from 10 to 15. He goes 10.
Right.
Might have been a little surprise. Anthony Barr was probably a little bit of a surprise at 9. So then you've got three guys who go ahead of Aaron Donald, who you weren't expecting, and that's why he drops. He wasn't dropping any further than that because the Bears would certainly have grabbed him at 14. The other guy that dropped in the first round, which I thought was a little mystifying, just because he seems like he's physically ready, style-wise, to play in the NFL, was Darquise Dennard, the cornerback from Michigan State, who went all the way to the Bengals, and the Bengals love drafting cornerbacks in the first round, and honestly, they've had a lot of success. Leon Hall, Jonathan Joseph, Trey Kirkpatrick the last couple of years. That's a good Cincinnati defense that definitely got better with him. He's a hitter.
Yeah, and you know what? Cincinnati build that team around their defense anyway. Marvin Lewis obviously being the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl the first time. I like Dennard a lot. They say he's probably as good a cover guy as there was in the draft. Clinton Dix. Mm-hmm. He went, I guess, just a little bit before that in Green Bay. I don't know how he's going to like the cold weather after being in Alabama and growing up down there. But, it seems like corners and defensive guys do pretty good up there in that defensive scheme they have up there.
Absolutely. And by the way, a first-round draft pick, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he probably has enough money to buy a few coats.
Yeah, and he'll have a bicycle too, right, maybe for training one. Camp? Because some kid...
Yeah, he gets a free bike ride. But you know what? It's funny you brought up the defensive backs. We had 9 defensive backs drafted in the first round. That was a record.
Yeah.
And you
the
know,
previous was 7.
Absolutely. And you know what? They needed to draft some because from the defense I was watching this year, I didn't see a whole lot of people being covered. I mean, unless...
The Packers, you know, we go back to when they won the Super Bowl as a wild card, okay?
Right.
And I know we like to credit Aaron Rodgers for that. And Aaron Rodgers was absolutely magnificent. Aaron Rodgers is a magnificent quarterback. There's no doubt about it, okay? For the last 3 years, you go back to 2011, the year that you were 15-1, they gave up the most passing yards in a season in NFL history. In 2012, they couldn't stop the run. Remember, in 2 playoff games, they gave up over 400 yards rushing. And most of it was to quarterbacks like Joe Webb and Colin Kaepernick. And then last year, they were remarkably consistent on defense, guys. They were 25th against the run and 24th against the pass.
Yep, and you know what? They have a hell of a defensive coordinator up there, too. I mean, I
agree. Got it, but here's what gets lost in the Super Bowl season. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Tunistic defense. Again, Aaron Rodgers was great in the 2010 playoffs, okay? But who returned an interception for a touchdown in the playoff game against Atlanta? Who returned an interception for a touchdown in the NFC title game against the Bears? Who returned an interception for a touchdown in the Super Bowl against the Steelers? Packers, Packers, Packers. That's not all Aaron Rodgers. That's three. There's 3 defensive touchdowns right off the top of my head.
You know, Greg Robinson, you were talking about the Rams earlier. This kid, you know, I really thought that Robinson wouldn't go before Matthews. I was wrong. Evidently, this Robinson kid has so much upside that the Rams went ahead and jumped out there on him. I guess he's going to probably play, is he going to play right tackle and then possibly be at left tackle later on?
I think it's going to depend. He could even start off at guard, depending on injury situations, and then move out to right tackle. They like Barksdale at the right tackle spot, who started for them later in the year. I'm glad you brought up Matthews, too, because I also I do like what Atlanta did in the offseason, because I'm thinking and I'm guessing and I'm in some ways I'm hoping in terms of a guy who knows what wins in the league and it's not just throwing the ball all over the place, that with some of the defensive additions they made in stopping the run and getting a brawler like Matthews and signing John Asamoah, the guard from the Chiefs, the Atlanta Falcons are going to return to a little more balance instead of having Matt Ryan, you know, do everything and letting the running game completely disappear. I know they were hurt. Steven Jackson was hurt part of the year last year. But no team in the NFL had fewer carries. Tell me why this isn't a coincidence. The Falcons last year were dead last running the ball and next to last stopping it.
So yeah. we've always talked about the NFL becoming a passing league. All right, now we see something like, 100 DBs drafted in the first round, and then we don't see a running back go until, you know, outside the top 50, 54 to Tennessee Titans. So is this just a class that didn't have top running backs, or is this finally that shift in the draft that we've all been talking about where it's a passing league?
Well, I don't think it's so much a shift in the draft, Roy. What I think it is, it's the way college football is now being played. And I don't think there's ever been a time that college football and professional football have been more similar. So, you know, think about where's the 2,000-yard back in college football right now? I'm not talking about 2,000 yards combined. I'm talking about 2,000 yards rushing.
Right. Yeah.
I know that's a high total, but we used to see that a lot more. Mm-hmm. We've seen more, I think, more 2,000-yard rushers probably in college than we have in the pros.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know the numbers, you know, it's really hard to – you know, make that comparison. I mean, there's so many more schools and so on. But the running game has kind of taken a back seat in college football as well, unless it's a running quarterback. So, you know, what's the minor leagues for the NFL? But here's the thing. Just because you're drafting a running back in the second or third round doesn't mean he's any less important. It just means that's the value now is to get him later. Case in point, running back last year, in 2013, the first pick was Giovanni Bernard, number 37, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This year went even later. So last year, you had all these running backs go in the second round. Running game doesn't mean anything anymore. Who was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, guys?
Yeah, Bernard, yeah.
Giovanni Bernard.
Eddie Lacy. I'm 2 years back.
Giovanni Bernard.
But yes. And to your point, Alfred Morris went in, what, the sixth round. So, yeah, no, absolutely. They're going later, and you're still getting that deep value. Absolutely.
Well, the thing about Alfred Morris was that offense helped Alfred Morris more than anything else, because the way the Redskins ran that offense with Kyle Shanahan, I mean, RG3 created a lot of that opportunity for him. Russ, I know we don't like to go negative much, but what have you seen? What's happened in the league in the last week or so that it seems a little negative to you?
Well, you know, obviously the Jim Irsay situation bears watching, the Ray Rice situation bears watching, if that's what we're talking about. And I think people will be watching probably Irsay closer than Rice, because they want to see if an NFL owner could actually be punished as severely as, say, a player or even another executive. You know, was it Matt Russell out in Denver?
Right.
You know,
drunk driving,
DUI situation.
Right.
You know, that policy that Commissioner Goodell put in, you know, 6-7 years ago, that encompassed everybody, assistants, coaches, secretaries, anybody to do with the L. Everybody was culpable for that. And I think that's what people want to see. But I think what you see is impatience on people's part, because they see players get – it's easier to find a player on the field because you see it right there and you take a couple of days. Some of these legal issues, it takes a little longer because you want to make sure what you are doing is legally correct as well.
Speaking of the Ravens and the Ray Rice situation – With the whole debacle of the press conference coming out when people seemingly had, I don't know, forgotten about it. We talked about this a little bit last segment, whereas we thought maybe the Ravens kind of jumped the boat on this one and didn't really help their case with the Ravens Twitter account tweeting out some not so maybe appropriate quotations from the press conference. What'd you think about the Ravens holding a press conference, and did you see the Twitter explode over it yesterday?
Yeah, well, it's actually kind of the way of the world now. I mean, we're so anxious to get out there, and that's why we have a lot of what I like to call Dewey defeats Truman stories, Roy. Mm-hmm. You know what, and you understand that reference, of course.
Yes, of course. Yes. I don't, actually. No.
See, I was in Washington last December, last November, and my best friend took me to the Newseum.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great place.
Newseum, okay? And I'm always making – would always make references about Dewey defeats Truman, and not only was there a great picture of Harry Truman holding the newspaper up, paper was in the museum. So, you know, Al Capone and I have the picture, and it'll make an appearance one day.
I had to Wikipedia it, but I did, and now I see it.
Hey, we're going to have to run. I hate having you for one segment. I love having you for two, but I got to have you on real soon. Russ, you're always the best. And
well, let's book a double.
Oh, we'll definitely do it. We're going to do two. We're going to do two segments next.
Not have it.
No, absolutely. Russell Baxter, profootballguru.com.
Buy a T-shirt, people,
and everything else. Yeah, and go to the Facebook page, right, Russ?
You can go to the website page. Whatever you need to do, let's sell some shirts and raise money for cancer.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to do that. Hey, absolutely. Russell Baxter, everybody. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. And I've got somebody, he's not on the line, he's actually sitting right here.
Hi.
I'm going to interview a guy named Roy Edwards, he's with sportsmancave.com, he's everything. Tell everybody tell everybody what you're doing now.
Yeah, well, we are 100% college athletics, so if you go to sportsmancave.com, you will find a breakdown. We cover football, basketball, obviously, we also do lacrosse. And Bruce, baseball we cover. Baseball.
Well, that surely helps, especially during baseball season. Yep. But I do want to cover something that was 20 minutes from here.
That's right.
What do they call that stadium over there in
M&T
Baltimore?
M&T Bank.
That's bank. Merchants and Trust, I think,
trust,
is what
probably.
It's called for. Mercantile and Trust. And Bank. thank you very much. You know, the banking industry, you know, so many banks get bought and sold that you never can keep them all straight. But it's a great stadium. I like it a lot better than FedEx Field because it's smaller, it's a little bit more comfy, and you're closer to the field, especially in the upper deck there. I like it. Plus, everything's purple, and that's my color.
Manufacturers and Traders Trust Company.
Oh, I was close. I'm 0-2. But anyway, here we go. The first game, let's talk a little bit about it. You know, the finals were determined yesterday. You've already told me who's going to win, but I'm not going to spoil it for everybody. Let's talk about the first game.
Sure.
How, I mean, was that even a close game at the, I mean, didn't they just jump right out on top of them?
Yeah, they did. You're talking about the Duke-Denver game.
Absolutely.
And, which to me should have been, I mean, you can never control a bracket. You can never, you know, when you have a 16-team field or the NCAA lacrosse went to 18 this year with two play-in games, you can never control a field and what your championship game is going to be. But to me, last night, or yesterday, I should say, was the championship game in NCAA lacrosse. It was Denver versus Duke. You on one side, you have a coach who has won 6 national titles. He's a Hall of Fame coach who has created a program out in Denver that is one of the top in the country now, built it out of scratch. And then on the other side, you have Duke, who is the defending national champion. They have been to 9 straight Final Four appearances. So you have really have the two powerhouses in college lacrosse today. And it started out with Denver trying to establish position with the game. They try to take over and take Duke's scores out of the game. They're the number 2 offense in the country, but when you're behind Albany and the Thompsons, that might as well be number 1. They were averaging 15 goals a game. So Denver came out, you know, they tried to slow down the game a little bit. They got a stalling call, warning call in the first possession, so you knew they were going to slow it down. And for the first, quarter and 5 minutes or so, Denver looked like they stood a puncher's chance. They were having the response goals, but when it got down to it, Duke's offense is just too powerful. It's too potent. They can go on runs, serious runs, and bury you quick. So you make mistakes, which neither of these teams really made a mistake. I mean, both teams had 6 turnovers. That's 12 turnovers in the game. If you compare that to the second game, Maryland and Notre Dame, Each team, Maryland and Notre Dame, had close to 20 turnovers apiece. And then this game, there were 6 apiece, 12 total. So, I mean, these two teams took great control of the ball, but it just shows you the little mistakes, and Duke can bury you.
You know, the final is going to be a rematch of the game in 2010, the final in 2010, which was a 6-5 victory in overtime. Talk about defense.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be unbelievable. Who were you impressed with yesterday? Obviously mm-hmm. Duke has a good defense.
Yeah.
And their goalie, for the most part, I mean, he played a great game, didn't he?
He played a great game, but he was never really tested. He had 1 save a quarter for the first 3 quarters. So he was never really tested. I mean, that's just to say how good this Duke defense is. And they don't get a lot of credit for it. I mean, Denver gets a lot of credit for their defense. Maryland gets a lot of credit for their defense, having the top goalie in the country. But when your goalie only has to make 3 saves in the first 3 quarters, I think you stand a pretty darn good chance of winning a lacrosse game. So who was I impressed with? Kyle Keenan really stepped up. He had 4 goals for Duke. Jordan Wolfe got his 60, 61, and 62nd goal of the season. Miles Jones stepped up big for Duke, stopping a run late that Denver had. The thing about Duke is they're so dangerous. They were without one of their big scorers. I believe he's number 7 in the country. Didn't play, and they still put up a 15 goal performance, which is their average. It looked like they didn't even miss a beat. So there are just way too many weapons on this Duke team. And it's gonna. I know Notre Dame is a good. They're a good physical defensive team, but they're gonna have their hands full with this Duke offense.
Now let's talk about Notre Dame. They were playing against a Maryland team, right?
Yeah.
That had an All-American goalkeeper,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
And from what I understand, at least this was some people I talked to that went to the game. They thought that the Notre Dame goalkeeper kind of outshone him a little bit. I mean, was that obvious, or was it just the defense? Was that similar to Duke? Were they swarming just like Duke was?
The Notre Dame game and the Duke game was I mean, it looked like they were playing two completely different sports. Denver and Duke were this flashy, both teams going on multi-goal runs kind of game where it was just action-packed. A lot of offense, you know, a lot of scoring opportunities, a lot of shots. Whereas this Maryland-Notre Dame game was more of a physical battle, a lot of ground balls, a lot of turnovers, very scrappy game. And the Maryland coach touched on exactly what you're talking about after the game where Nico, who is the he was the goalie of the year, he plays for Maryland. Nico in the Maryland defense might not have had the best game they've ever had. I mean, they didn't have the best game they've ever had. But Connor Kelly, who is the goalkeeper for Notre Dame, he looked like he could have been the goalie of the year. I mean, not to take anything away from Nico from Maryland, because he had a great season. But Connor Kelly, who was benched earlier in the year, and that now he got his time to shine. I believe he's won six straight now for Notre Dame. The Maryland coach was like, well, you know, watching tape, we thought we had a better chance beating the guy high. You know, he has a great stick down low. Well, a lot like hockey, which we're going to talk about next segment, when you have a hot goalie, then you have the, you know, you all the momentum is in your corner. And Connor Kelly right now is a hot goalie. I mean, that guy, he was all over the field. He had four ground balls yesterday, which is a lot for a goalkeeper. He had timely saves, and he kept a very good Maryland team out of the net. I mean, holding a team like Maryland to six goals at M&T Stadium in Baltimore in the Final Four, I mean, that's a hell of a showing. And, you know, the kid was composed. He was in the press conference following the game. The coach had him out there, and he was all business. He had his little American flag tie on. I mean, the guy was all business.
Now let me ask you this, Roy. Mm-hmm. Denver hadn't lost since March, like the beginning of March, and they, you know, the shootout yesterday.
Yeah.
How does that work? I mean, I didn't watch the game on TV. Mm-hmm. I was watching, you know, my daughter Emily's son. We're watching Super Regional Softball. That's what we're watching at my house for the most part. And I'm sneaking a baseball game in college in every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And on my computer, I'm following all my kids who are in the playoffs in college right now. But from what I understand, I mean, a lot of people thought Denver was going to win this game.
I thought Denver was going to win the game. Denver...
are they that good?
Yes.
Wow.
Denver is a... I mean, they are... They're the next Duke team.
Right.
I mean, I talked about this yesterday in one of the pieces I wrote on Sports Man Cave. They are the next up-and-coming lacrosse program. They were the most balanced team in the tournament. I believe they're number three in the country in scoring. And they were number six in the country in defense. So this is an extremely balanced lacrosse team to begin with. They have players in 20 different states and two provinces in Canada. So they're all over the map. They're bringing kids from all over the country. And, oh, by the way, they have Bill Tierney, who is a Hall of Fame lacrosse coach, won six national titles as the head coach who basically built lacrosse in Princeton. So they have the total package out there. They've been to the Final Four 3 out of 4 years. So they're knocking on the door, you know, and he talked about it in his press conference where he said, you know, you might think that Denver gets, you know, I don't know, tired of giving this end of the season speech at the semifinals, but that's just to show how far this program has come. I mean, he said, no, but, you know, there aren't many fifth graders in the East Coast who say, when I get older, I can't wait to play for Denver, you know, because lacrosse is an East Coast sport, you know, let's face it. But Denver is knocking on the door, man. They finished the regular season polls, the number two team in the country. They are the number three offensive team, number six defensive team in the country. I mean, Denver is a team to watch out for, and they're going to be a household name.
Well, you know, they also have an advantage when teams come into playing because they're a mile high in Denver. You know, the air is much thinner, and it's going to take, you know, these NCAA teams that do go into Denver to play a lacrosse game, I mean, you know, they're going to get a little tired in the second half, unless they're there all week, you know, so their bodies can adjust to it. I don't see it happening. And plus, Colorado is such a great place anyway. Listen, there's a lot of people, you know, east of the Mississippi that will go to the University of Colorado at Boulder. Mm-hmm. Just because their parents may have gone there, and they just love it out there. There's a lot of people that have got, you know, summer homes in Denver, winter homes. in Colorado so they can ski in the summer. They hike, they fish. There's a million things you can do out there. I can see that program literally growing to the point where they become the team. And Duke, it seems, is going to stay the team for a while, at least in the East.
Yeah, I mean, the
Syracuse had a pretty good club.
Syracuse has a good team. Yeah. I mean, Duke will always have a good team. It will always be an East Coast first sport, but with Denver being so good and expanding westward, I wouldn't be surprised to see this tournament grow into something like the basketball tournament has with like a 60, maybe someday.
Well, Big
32
Ten,
field, maybe a 64 down the road.
Big Ten lacrosse is going to grow because that's why they brought Maryland in. That's one of the reasons.
They brought Hopkins into Big Ten too.
Absolutely. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. Roy and Matt and I will be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Now we have a man on the line from NHL.com. He is a fantasy hockey guru, Pete Jensen. You can follow him on the tweet box, NHL Jensen. Pete, thank you very much for joining us to talk some puck today.
Oh, yeah, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. It's a great time of year for that kind of talk.
Pete, listen, I read your bio. This is Bruce Hall. It's a pleasure meeting you. I used to be a big-time NHL guy when I had friends like Rod Langway I played golf with back in the 80s. You know, not so much since. We don't even do basketball professionally in Washington until this year. The Wizards actually got people a little bit interested. And the Caps have been big for a while. But I got to tell you, you're our NHL guy. And I did a good job this morning. I basically read nothing except New York Rangers stuff. Tell us a little bit about what it is you do so that the people, our guests on the show, know what you do and how they can find you.
Yeah, I write for NHL.com/fantasy. Obviously, that's more regular season geared, as are, any other fantasy sports. And if you're interested in playing fantasy hockey, it's something that is, very conducive to the whole news cycle that I deal with in my other part of my job and being a homepage producer for NHL.com. You know, all the injury information, line changes, everything. All plays into fantasy. So, you know, we've really, since I've joined their group, really started to ramp up that coverage. I do daily fantasy spins for their site. So, all the different news, trades, signings, injuries, how it all pertains to fantasy hockey. And it is, it's a long season, stretches from October all the way to, April, the regular season. And it's really, maybe second only to fantasy football. It's really, it's quite the captivating game, and I really encourage any hockey fan to start playing because it's really a lot of fun.
So speaking of injury talk and fantasy hockey, really, there's a guy named Alex Ovechkin, I'm sure you've heard of him, who plays in Washington. Everyone thought that he was going to break all kinds of goal records this year, and now he goes off and he plays in Russia, and he has to get carted off the ice and then tweets a picture out that same night saying he's okay and he wants to play again, and then he comes out and says he's 90%. So before we get into the playoff talk, because I'm dying to talk NHL playoffs with you, but what's going on with this Alex Ovechkin story, and is he going to play again over in Russia?
Well, yeah, he actually already played in their ensuing game after. I mean, he didn't really even miss any time, which is, without question, it's a little concerning from a Capitals standpoint. Obviously,
looked like he was out.
In their contracts, they're allowed to play overseas in tournaments like this, World Championship, obviously the Olympics. But you know, where does the risk start to override the reward? Mm-hmm. And obviously we know with a lot of Russian players, they have a lot of pride for their country. They want to play in these type of tournaments. Nothing wrong with that. But when you see a potentially serious injury, like we saw with Ovechkin with the, you know, in the leg area and he was limping off the ice, it's a little concerning, especially when you have a team like the Capitals who, for better or worse, their success hinges on him, not only his goal scoring, but we saw this past year his ability to play a two-way game, and he really didn't have a great season in that regard on the defensive end for the Capitals. And, you know, you can't put the whole blame on Ovechkin for why the Capitals missed the playoffs. They didn't really address their needs this past offseason. Goalie situation was a mess. Defensively, some injuries. But, Ovechkin, I think you start to be a little concerned with where his head's at where his priorities are.
I hear you. Let me ask you, this is even more important for people in the New York listening area where we go out of. I got to tell you, Roy's a big Caps guy, and I am too. But let's talk about the Rangers. We really, you know, this year, I knew the Rangers were going to be better. You know, they've made a lot of changes in the last couple of years. It's almost like almost a brand new team, in my opinion, what I watched 2-3 years ago. Even last year, it's a much improved team. They seem to be having a lot of fun playing hockey. Is anybody going to win a home ice game in this series? I mean, what is that about? I can't believe that they've won all three games on the road.
Yeah, that's shocking. I mean, one thing to note about the Rangers, they were a team all year that never really fully hit their stride. They had some great stretches. You know, I'm sure you guys remember earlier in the season, they started the season on the West Coast because, the construction at Madison Square Garden and finishing that project up. So they started on the West Coast, and they beat the Kings in one game, but they really got smoked on the West Coast. They lost to the Coyotes. They gave up, I think it was 9 goals to the San Jose Sharks. They lost to the Anaheim Ducks in convincing fashion. I mean, this has been a team that has rode the different, the mountains throughout the season, the ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And they've actually, despite that road trip, they've been a pretty good road team from that point forward, you know, excluding that stretch. But at home, they really they've struggled this year all through the season. They're 500 at home in the playoffs. They had the second fewest home wins in the regular season among playoff teams. So that's out of 16 teams. They were second fewest in that department. So it's concerning. And when you see what Montreal was able to do, and you know, against the Bruins, take game one and win game seven in Boston.
Right.
You see the road teams start to have an advantage, and it's just it's a wacky sort of thing because you think that the Rangers coming back home after winning the first two games would really be able to put a stranglehold on them, but especially with Montreal, especially with their goalie Tekarski, they're playing up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're
playing
up on the road. It's crazy.
Hey, let me ask you this. Brandon Prust, everybody knows he's a hell of a hockey player. You saw the hit on Stepan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that he was intentionally trying to hurt him? I mean, that was a pretty good hit. I mean, that was unbelievable. He broke his jaw. Is he going to get a couple of games, do you think?
Yeah, he got suspended 2 games. I mean, some people are saying should have been more. Some people saying it was, he didn't have the intent to injury. From my standpoint, looking at it, it should have been interference, on the ice. The refs kind of missed the call. It was a late hit. You could see his body going at him. The hit was a little high. It wasn't like he was headhunting or anything. He was, pretty going at him at the chest. Obviously, the after effects of the hit, he clipped his jaw and... Mm-hmm. When you look at his history, he's been suspended once before. Stepan, as you mentioned, was injured on the play, and it was a late hit interference sort of deal. So all those things considered, you know, Brandon Prust will not be in the lineup for Montreal for the next two games.
Well, there you go. That won't hurt the Rangers' chances either. And here's another question for you. I assume you're a Rangers guy. Yeah, you're a New York guy, right?
Yeah. I'm based in Manhattan.
Yeah, so you're a Rangers guy.
Very much looking at the Rangers, Islanders, that sort of thing.
Well, I already picked them earlier in the year to win it, just because, you know, I did that with the Giants, 3 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, and it turned out great for me. But who do you think the Rangers would rather play from the West? I mean, is it going to be L.A. or what? I mean, I don't see where they're at. They probably match up better against LA, wouldn't they?
It's tough to say because both of those teams are so good, but to be honest, a lot of people are saying they'd rather play LA. I personally watch a lot of West Coast games.
Right.
I wouldn't want to play that team. Yeah. That team is, you get them down and out, they seem like they're out. They were down 3-0 to the San Jose Sharks, who are a stacked team with four lines, solid defensemen and solid goaltending, and they were able to come back. They fell behind 3-2 to the Anaheim Ducks, had to win a game at home, had to win a game 7 on the road. Both game 7s they've won this season, you know, in the playoffs have been on the road. They're a really scary team in terms of adjusting mid-series, and you know, L.A. has some really clutch playoff performers, from Kopitar to Drew Doughty to Jonathan Quick, who we know in this area, being from Connecticut. Jeff Carter, who's a former Flyers guy, he's now second in the postseason in scoring. His line is really on fire right now. The Blackhawks are a very good team, very experienced team. They're going to be tough to knock out here. But we've seen some power play woes for the Blackhawks. Right now, the Kings, penalty kill and power play will beat you and will give you an extremely hard time as the series gets later and later. So I would rather play the Blackhawks. I don't really know if the Rangers have a great chance to beat either of those teams. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, I want no part of L.A. right now.
Yeah, it seems like these days the NHL kind of lives in the Western Conference. I mean, sure, we have the Penguins and the Bruins in the East, and you have the Rangers, and you know, the Flyers were up and down this year, I guess. But out West, you have the Blackhawks, that are defending champs. 2 year, you know, and the year before that, it was the LA Kings, who, you know, now they're battling to get back to the Cup. And then you talked about the Anaheim Ducks, who now have Bruce Boudreau, who have that power offense out there. But so is this a shift in hockey to back to the Western Conference? Because we know that, you know, when Detroit was a powerhouse, they lived out in the West. But when I don't know if it's the coverage in New York or, you know, the major media or anything like that, that tends to swing towards the East Coast. But has it just been a complete swing towards the West Coast and that's where hockey lives these days?
I mean, there's passionate fan bases all over the country, and there's excellent talent in the East as well. But to be honest, I think when you look at the West this year, there are a couple of teams out West that got eliminated in the first round, St. Louis, San Jose, and Colorado.
Yeah.
That might be better than, you know, any team in the East, you know, with the exception of maybe Boston in the regular season. So it's really so crowded out West. And then even to say that, you know, the sixth best team, the LA Kings, could come out of the West, it just shows how deep, how much parity there is in the West, how, you know, so many of these teams can run four lines at you and have star power, also depth, strong defensively, puck possession teams. The teams out West are really scary, and that's why it really scares me. Whoever's going to come out of that batch, and if it is the Kings, which it looks like it could be with them having a 2-1 series lead, think about how battle-tested they are. And, you know, the Rangers have also been battle-tested, but Pittsburgh, it was not a team that, you know, they've been like in the past few years.
Right. Well, Pete, hey, we got to jump, buddy. But I really appreciate the time, and we'll have you on sometime in the future because I want to talk Bruce Boudreau with you because that guy just seems to blow Game 7s. But thanks for having you on, and we'll be right back after this. You're listening to AM 1230 WFAS.
Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Another thanks to Pete Jensen coming on from NHL.com. Give
Good
him
guy.
A follow at NHL Jensen. I wanted to ask him about Bruce Boudreau. I'm obviously from the Capitol. You know, I covered the Washington Capitals this year, and I wanted to ask him if things are starting to catch up in Anaheim like they did here in Washington, where he just continually blew seven-game series, which he alluded to, how the Ducks were up against the Kings, and the Kings came back on him. So maybe we'll have him on here in the future. And we'll get into that Bruce Boudreau.
You know, I like Boudreau. I like him because I love what he did in Hershey. I mean, I like the fact that he won there and then he came to Washington. He won here. He got us to the playoffs. He did a good job. It just seems like Ted is always going to constantly make changes, and it seems like the Capitals are never going to get there. But look at the Rangers. They're two wins away from the Stanley Cup final. I mean, I think it's great that New York made the change, right?
Yeah.
And look, 2 years later, they're there.
Yeah,
I mean they're right where they need to be. That says a lot, in my opinion, for the upper level management of the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk baseball because this whole second half hour at 11 o'clock is about Major League Baseball, and it's not just Major League Baseball. There's a lot going on. University of Maryland, by the way, beat Florida State and the University of Virginia, who was ranked number one in the country. First two games of the ACC baseball tournament. Then they got beat by Carolina, but they're in the championship game. And Virginia can't win the pool. They can't win their pool, so they're not going to be in the championship game. Maryland's going to be playing. It's going to be pretty exciting. It'll be later today. But let's talk Major League Baseball right now. Cleveland, and we're going to have Tony Mazur on at 11:45. For those of you that love Tony, we do too. He's coming on to talk a little Johnny Manziel pretend stuff that went on this week.
Yeah.
I mean, a case literally went through the court system and it was bogus. But Cleveland beat the Baltimore Orioles last night. Kluber and Cleveland shut them out 9-0 in Baltimore. That doesn't happen very often, especially with especially with the hitters that the Baltimore Orioles have. Toronto lost to Oakland 5-2 last night. Toronto, by the way, is in first place in the American League East. Who thought that was going to happen? Raise your hand. Nobody. Not even me. They're playing well. They've won five in a row. The New York Yankees, I sent a tweet out that was pretty nasty yesterday. They're wasting hundreds of millions of dollars on five or six guys that are all hitting under 200. They are absolutely horrible. The Yankees hitters, do they have a hitting coach? Evidently not. They're all banged up, too. I can't really. You know who's hitting the ball? Ishiro. Why don't they start him? If he's going to be hitting 330, 340, getting on base 336, 37% of the time, put Ishiro Suzuki in there. He probably wants to win. They beat the White Sox in 10 innings yesterday. The Philadelphia Phillies beat the Dodgers yesterday, 5-3. The Dodgers still don't have that chemistry that we're looking for. Texas Rangers won, even though Prince Fielder, Roy, you saw where he's out for the rest of the year. He had neck surgery and he's done. Prince Fielder is done for the year.
Huh.
So if you have Prince Fielder on your fantasy baseball team, and if you do, you probably already released him because he's on the inactive list. He's on the 60-day DL, but he's out for the year. Arizona finally won a game. They beat the Mets. Sorry, Mets fans. They beat the Mets 3-2. Ryan Wheeler pitched a better game than he's pitched in the last two or three outings, though. Did a pretty good job yesterday, but he still gets the loss. I want to say Wheeler's 1-6. He's the guy that came to the Mets in the trade for Angel Pagan with San Francisco, and he was the number one prospect in the Giants organization, and he is really kind of the one guy the Giants don't have right now to fill out their five-man rotation, although Ryan Vogelsong just threw another six-plus shutout innings for the San Francisco Giants. I was going to have Boach on tonight, but I'm not going to have him on until they lose because I'm superstitious. And for those of you out there that coach baseball, you know what the hell I'm talking about. But Arizona Diamondbacks are going to probably get rid of Kevin Towers. They hired Tony La Russa a couple weeks ago to be their, you know, director of baseball operations or whatever, chairman of the board, whatever you want to call it. He's in charge. They're also going to, knowing La Russa, he's going to bring in, he's got Dave Duncan out there with him already. And Dave Duncan was his pitching coach for, what, 20 years? A catcher, used to be with the Oakland A's organization, of course, and Tony coached in Oakland too. So he was with him in Oakland and he was with him in St. Louis. And it's going to be, you know, I just think that Arizona is going to come out of this on their feet. But you know what? They got rid of so much good starting pitching, trying to finagle this team to look to be a competitor in the West, that I think they're about 2 years away, maybe 3 years away. The Boston Red Sox lose to Tampa Bay. Finally, Tampa Bay wins. 15-inning game last night. Colorado beats Atlanta. I love it anytime Atlanta loses. I don't like Atlanta. I'm sorry. They lose 3-1. Colorado, Michael Kadire's back, my buddy. You know, we've had Cuddy on the show a couple of times. He hit a home run yesterday. Milwaukee, there's a lot of low-scoring games, Roy. Colorado, Milwaukee, you know, John Nairn's hitting team, my buddy, they lose 2-1 to a very hot Miami team. I mean, Miami is playing some ball.
Yeah. And they just jumped the Washington Nationals in the at least again. This team just seemingly won't go away. They lost one of their best pitchers to Tommy John surgery, and he was they haven't missed a beat.
He was the best pitcher in the league, yeah. Right-hander, and he's out for the year. And they just bring another guy up, and he throws a shutout or, you know, a little one-run game. But you're right, Roy, and I got to tell you, they're hitting the ball too.
Yeah, they are.
Miami is hitting the ball. You know they've got some youth. I've got Garrett Jones on one of my teams. And I got to tell you, Garrett Jones, I was only, you know, platooning him against right-handed pitching. He's knocking a crap out of the ball. He had two bombs the other night. You know, he used to be Pittsburgh's first baseman. And now Pittsburgh is messing around with, they got Gabby Sanchez that hits from the right side. They got Ike Davis, former Met, that hits from the left side. And Pittsburgh's struggling because they're not really getting the starting pitching. Grilly just came back, you know, their closer. He just came back. I mean, they just activated him from the DL this past week, and he looked okay. He did a good job. Pittsburgh beats Washington, but everybody's beating him. That's why we're going to have Mike Wallace on. He actually, we were hoping we were going to have him on this morning, and he may still very well call. But he's going to. We were going to talk about the National League East with the Mets and everything else too. St. Louis beat Cincinnati 6-3. St. Louis, I picked to win it all this year. They haven't looked great, but they're starting to look better. Kansas City, a lot of people picked them this year. I don't see it. I like the Angels, but they beat the Angels 7-4 in 13 innings yesterday. The San Francisco Giants, my San Francisco Giants, win 2-1. And guess who? Pablo Sandoval, who I picked to win a batting title and was hitting under 200 till about 2 weeks ago. He hits a two-run bomb. That's all they need. And guess who pitched, you know, Ryan Vogelsong, the guy that we thought was going to get cut, possibly sent down to AAA. He's 36 or 37 years old. You know, made the All-Star team 3 years ago, did a great job. It was all basically mechanic problems. And Dave Rigetti worked it out. They got together. And he's thrown something like 15 straight innings of shutout ball. That's pretty amazing when you saw what he looked like in spring training and when you saw what he looked like at the start of the season. Houston, who is a AAA team disguised as a major league team, they beat Seattle 9-4. But my boy Robinson Cano, who's on my team, he's not my boy, but he's on my team. He gets two hits, scores two runs.
Houston is only a game back from Arizona.
I know.
All right, and I believe they have. Okay, well, they're...
No, Houston's in the American League.
Right. No, they're not in the same division. I'm talking about battle for worst team in the league.
You're right.
They're a game back from Arizona, and they're a half game back from Chicago Cubs as the worst team in the league. So go Houston Astros.
All right. Hey, you know, for the first time in generations, Roy, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, and I'm a realtor... Members of the National Association of Realtors are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I took my continuing education for my real estate broker's license last week and the week before, and I will keep my realtor's license for the rest of my life. This is Bruce Hall. We'll be back on Second Opinion. in a few minutes.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
As the NBA playoffs carry on, one can't but think about the Oklahoma City Thunder and what could have been. They are now in a 2-0 hole, or I should say 0-2 hole, to the San Antonio Spurs, and the Spurs look like a team destined to head back to the NBA Finals and to take on the Miami Heat, possibly. That's another story.
You know who I
want to
be?
But
you know who I want to be? I'm practicing jumping in here. That's what we need to do sometimes. Matt educates us on this show. Hey, you know what I want to do? Know who I want to be? I want to be Serge Ibaka. I want to be his agent.
Is he coming back?
He's starting today.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's so stupid.
Yeah. Well, no, you know what? He's probably, 60, 70%. He's hurt. But they've already basically said they can't win without him. And you know what? I got to tell you, if you saw my rant, my tweet this week, I wished I was in Vegas. You know what? Usually out of about 7 or 8 big plays on what I call gut checks, you know, with any sport, you're going to lose 2 or 3 of them, even if you're hot, right? You're going to lose 2 or 3 out of 8, maybe out of 9 or 10. I've hit them all, and I'm not in Vegas, so it doesn't help me. And I got to tell you, the San Antonio Spurs, remember we talked about it a couple weeks ago, I picked them to win it because they're just going to do it. They have the best coach in the NBA.
Absolutely.
They have the best fans in the NBA, and they got 3 of the best players in the NBA. And they've got great backups. I mean, these guys know
that's
how to
the key. That's the key for the Spurs. Is they're the deepest team left in the playoffs, whether it be the West Coast or the East Coast. I mean, they are deep, and they do it. The best thing that I love about Pop is that he can change his philosophy and game plan with the same players. Not only can he do it in game, but he can do it year in and year out. Whereas Tony Parker is not the game-changing, you know, top two or three players in the NBA anymore.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that he's not still extremely effective and a great player. I mean, that he's just changed his game. You know, I mean, the way that they change every single year, they reinvent themselves, is what is so impressive about the Spurs. And the reason why Popovich is coach of the year seemingly every single season, and got it again this year. I mean, the Spurs have been a dynasty for as long as I can remember, really. They've always been good.
I mean, that's true, because since David Robinson, David Robinson started out as their big guy. He was a combination center power forward, and he played with Tim Duncan for a few years. They were unstoppable.
They were twin towers.
They could both shoot from the outside. They could both play defense. They were both great people. Now you look at, Duncan looks like he's 25 years old. He's playing 40 minutes a game.
Yeah.
He's doing everything they ask. He's like a triple-double kind of guy.
He is the epitome of what you want out of big man. Not only is he a future Hall of Famer, and he's a champion, and you know, amazing basketball talent, but the guy is a team player, and he's another one of those guys like the Tony Parkers and Manu Ginobili's who changed their game and their philosophy around Pop. I mean, these guys trust their coach, and why wouldn't they? And they change their game year in, year out. They change their roles year in, year out. And they bring in guys who the NBA, other teams in the NBA, you know, put their thumb down at. You know, I mean, Danny Green. Who would have wanted Danny Green a couple years ago? And now all of a sudden we're talking about him last year he could have been a possible MVP candidate.
Isn't he a Georgetown guy, Danny Green? Pretty sure he is. He was a first round draft pick back when, and I don't even know if it was San Antonio that picked him. But I got to tell you, the thing I like about Pop,
he went to UNC.
Well, then I'm totally. Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
okay. I knew it was close by.
Second
somewhere.
Round draft pick by the Cavs.
You know, yeah, he wasn't even a top pick, but he's done a real good job. Mm-hmm. You know, Popovich when they were trying to sign or re-sign Duncan. Evidently, he went down to the Virgin Islands in the offseason. You know what they did? They surfed together. They went out in the waves. Can you imagine seeing Popovich sitting on a 9'6" Bob White waiting for these huge waves that are coming in, and Duncan is just jumping up and riding them in? And I guarantee you Pop didn't even come in. He probably sat out there on his board. He had a life vest on, just hanging out with his boy getting a sunburn. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're talking NBA, but we're talking about the best team in the NBA, San Antonio Spurs. Now, don't get me wrong now, Roy. You and I both liked Oklahoma City a little bit. But you know what? They just don't seem to have that kill shot.
They're not putting everything together. And the more and more I watch this team, and I've followed – I love Kevin Durant. He's right down the street from where I went, where I grew up. That's where he played. He still comes back. I watch him in a lot of summer league tournaments and stuff like that around the Washington D.C. area. So I love Kevin Durant. I follow him around.
Yep.
And the more that I watch OKC, is the more that I can't get over the fact that they let James Harden walk to Houston. Whereas now they only have two scorers.
Right.
Okay. They have Westbrook and they have Durant, and the rest of the players are role players. Now you have Serge Ibaka, but Serge Ibaka, like, even if he comes back and he plays today in game three, he's not some world-changing, game-changing player. Sure, he is good defensively, and maybe he can put a body on Tim Duncan or somebody else down low, but he's not going to put up 20. He's not going to put up, you know, anywhere near the numbers of that third guy that they had in Harden. So, look, the stats that the OKC puts up during the regular season, it's great. That's all well and good. It earns them top seeds every season. But they are built for the regular season. They're not built for the postseason. And the Spurs are a complete team. They're not a flashy team, but they are a complete team. And they have a whole squad of not only role-playing, but role-playing great players. And you don't find that very often in the NBA.
No, and I'll tell you who I'm totally impressed with more and more as I get older and older, and he gets older and older, and that's Tony Parker. You know, yeah. You know, and you know, all I got to say is, you know, that lady he dated for a long time, Eva Longoria, mm-hmm. Boy, she dropped the ball. This guy is going to be playing basketball for a long time. Now, they may still be friends, all that stuff, but I got to tell you something, man. If this guy plays another year or 2 years, he might not even have to play another year in the NBA. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, don't you think?
Oh yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, Tony can shoot. He can get his own. He can get his own shot. He can drive to the hole. He can play defense with the best of them. You know, he may have a little bit of a problem with a really big physical point guy or a two guard, but it just seems to me that he just knows his way around the court so well that he just more than makes up for it when he plays. They're just a fun team to watch. And if you're a coach in high school or college, you got to watch Greg Popovich work. He just knows what to do. Thing I like about Pop is I like the fact that he doesn't care what the NBA does to him. They'll fight. You know, if he doesn't play somebody because he thinks they need a rest and the NBA gives him a call, like Stern used to do, and go, hey, you don't play this guy up, I'm going to fine you. He just goes, well, fine me then.
Fine me
because he's not playing. I'm going to give Duncan a couple of days off because he's just hurting. Well, no, I mean, he don't look like he's hurting that bad. Well, you know what? That's your opinion. Fine me. You know, who's going to pay that? The owner, that's who. And nobody cares. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm here with Roy Edwards from SportsManCave.com and 8 million other things going on. Matt Lynch on the box. Let's talk a little bit about LeBron James.
Sure.
Last night, LeBron James got stretched out. What was that, third quarter maybe? It was later in the game. Mm-hmm. He was tightening up. He was cramping up a little bit. They were stretching him really. I never got an answer, or I never saw it anywhere what exactly they were doing to him. But that line on the game was a little suspect to begin with. And if you know what I'm talking about, they get crushed by Indiana, you know, in Indiana. And then they go home. Oh, I'm sorry. They got another game. And
they won game two.
They won game two. Mm-hmm. That was game two last night, right?
This was game three.
Oh, so that was game three.
They just put the Heat up 2-1.
You're right. So they win game two. And then now they're 6-point favorites. And everybody's wondering, you know, I don't get it. Why? All of a sudden, you see why. They end up winning and covering the point spread. That's the way the NBA works.
Plus, you had Paul George, who's coming off of a concussion, which he probably went fishing. For anyone who has been following the NBA and the Pacers, you know that Paul George, whenever anything happens, He goes fishing, and that's like his chi. That's where he took Roy Hibbert when Roy Hibbert was slumping and seemingly in a coma, putting up, 0 points and 0 rebounds against the Wizards in game one. He took him fishing, and then all of a sudden he was better. You know, so look, the Pacers are a good basketball team, but they have been so up and down this postseason. They should have lost to the Hawks. They probably should have lost to the Wizards. And now here they are, blowing leads, 15-point leads to the Miami Heat here in a game that would have put them up 2-1. So I don't know what to think about either of these teams, because to me, the Heat are slumping just as bad as the Pacers are. The Heat haven't, you know, I think they're 6-0 or something like that at home this postseason, and they haven't lost back-to-back games and all that, but they haven't really played anybody either. And this is the first time they've really been tested by this Pacers team this postseason, and they don't look like they are the same team that everyone feared a year or two or even 3 years ago. So I am not completely sold on this Heat team. I don't think they're deep enough. LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world right now, and Dwayne Wade is kind of a shell of himself. Ray Allen comes off the bench and plays great for them last night, but you have to think that there are no real role players on this team. And the Miami Heat, they don't have a Popovich to get themselves so they can reinvent themselves time and time again. I mean, Eric Spoelstra has done a decent job with the Heat, but he's not Popovich. And this Heat team doesn't have the depth of the Spurs. So if they get past the Pacers, and the Pacers just continue to shoot themselves in the foot up 15, playing games like this, if they can get past the Pacers, I don't see them getting past a Spurs team who looks like they're going to sweep the Thunder. So I just don't see it. So, Bruce, I'm on your side now. All right,
not happening.
I have jumped ship, and I'm after watching the last two games of the Spurs, man, it's blatantly obvious to me who the best team in the NBA left is right now, and it's the Spurs. It's Tim Duncan and company and Popovich and just the depth that they have on that team, the depth that's on the Spurs, and you pair that with great coaching, it's blatantly obvious that the San Antonio Spurs are the team to beat. And I don't care if you bring Serge Ibaka back. I don't care if you bring his 8 rebounds and 7 points or whatever he's going to bring you the night. I know that the Thunder swept the Spurs in the regular season with Ibaka, and it's no secret that the Spurs kind of kryptonite was being joked about, how Ibaka's their kryptonite and how he killed them, and he had that the shooting streak against them.
It doesn't even matter.
It is the postseason, and the Spurs are on fire, and nobody's going to step in their way at this point.
You know, we're going to talk baseball here shortly, but, I hope the Heat win, and I'm going to tell you why, because I want to see San Antonio kick their ass.
I'd like to see it.
That's what I want to see, because LeBron James has no chance against that team. He has no chance. Now, he's going to put up his 25, yeah, and his 12 or 13, yeah. The rest of that team, in my opinion, Dwayne Wade is playing pretty well right now. I don't see that continuing, do you? He hasn't even gotten hurt yet.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade is, he's still a very good basketball player. Obviously, he's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. Okay, he has 3 titles, I believe. 1 with Shaq and now 2 with LeBron. I mean, the guy is he's a stud. All right, he's a great basketball player, but he's not the same player.
His last series, I thought that he peaked.
And they need, and the Heat swept the Bobcats in the first round, and they got Dwayne Wade that rest, and they had a great series after that. I don't remember who they played after the Bobcats, but they took care of their business there and got Dwayne Wade that rest. So this Indiana Pacers team, they're a little bit more physical, or that's, you know, had historically been their MO, but and they need that rest for Dwayne Wade. If they're going to take a title, they need to take care of business, and they need to make this 2-1 lead turn into a 4-1 win and give Dwayne Wade that rest, because the Spurs look like they're sweeping.
Well, I'm picking Miami Heat to win that playoff series, and I'm picking the Spurs to beat them. By the way, we haven't said this yet. It's Memorial Day weekend. You know, if you're a serviceman and you serve for our country, or you have family that's ever served for our country, you owe it to this entire country to say a prayer today. If you know to whoever you pray to, and thank those men and women in our armed forces for all they do. You know, we get to see a lot of what goes on Memorial Day in the Washington D.C. area. We're very lucky for that. And once again, I thank you so much. everybody out there in our armed forces, or if you have served in our armed forces, I can't thank you enough. I almost get choked up talking about it. This is Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So we've done NCAA, we've done NBA, we've done NHL, we've done soccer. We did soccer.
We're going to finish up on baseball now. And we're going to give you our picks today, because that's kind of important.
A little bit.
In my opinion.
A little bit.
It's extremely important. Let me reach over here to my favorite newspaper for a Sunday. That would be the New York Post.
The only person who still
here, I'm going to rattle the paper newspaper. So you know I'm let me tell you something. I read so many newspapers, it's ridiculous.
This is a service, because most people listening to the radio don't know what that sound is.
Here.
I do.
That is what they call in the olden days a newspaper.
I do buy
.com.
I do buy a couple papers, but only because it gives me a discount on my coffee, so it might as well be free. So it's like 50 cents or something like that. So then I use it to I'm moving now. I'm moving houses, so I will go buy the paper and I will take it and wrap my dishes up in it so
yeah,
they don't break.
If you do that with old enough newspaper, like when I was looking through my mother's stuff when she passed away 14 years ago, I've got stuff from like, 99, 2000. She died in 1999. All that newspaper stuff is sports pages from 1999.
No, I mean I saved the newspaper from when my son was born. So I have that. That's cool. I have Steven Strasburg's first start. I have a couple of them.
I'm a borderline hoarder. So, I have newspapers from what I consider every big event that's ever happened. Listen, I even saved, both Obama wins. Don't tell me. Don't ask me why. I even saved an Obama, thing you put in your yard said Obama. What's the vice president's name? A weird guy.
Joe Biden.
Says Obama Biden. I mean, I just to have them, because one day they might be worth a dollar or something, at a yard sale.
So they will decrease
Bruce Hall,
in value.
And I'm a borderline hoarder. Let's talk about the Yankees. Look, I did the Yankees have a hitting coach? I don't think so. And if you're the Yankee hitting coach, why don't you do something about this team?
We technically know they have a hitting coach, because when you were talking to the hitting coach from Milwaukee a few weeks ago.
Oh, he's talking about Kevin Long. Kevin Long. So I think it's Kevin Long.
He pulled him off.
We've proven that they have a hitting coach.
They don't like us.
Yeah, but he's not John Nairn. I mean, if he was John Nairn, the Yankees would have won 28 to 30 games. Instead, they're 25-23, and they have – if you just look, go to the Yankees, go to MLB.com, and then just click on the New York Yankees site. And look at their on-base average and their batting average. I don't even care about batting average. But when everybody's around 200 or worse, that's not good. If your on-base average is 300, like 300 to 400, you're doing okay. 350 is pretty good. 375 is a lot better. 400 is elite. The Yankees are playing the White Sox in Chicago today. The Yankees have Tanaka throwing. They need the win bad.
Two games back from the Blue Jays.
Yeah, they have a 7-2 record. He has a 7-2 record.
I'll take the Bombers.
You know what? You take the Bombers. I'm going to take Hawk Harrelson. Did you hear Hawk's call the other night on Adam Dunn's three-run walk-off home run? Hawk Harrelson has the best. He's the best guy.
It's good to know that Adam Dunn's still in the league.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's hitting the ball right now.
Does he have 500 strikeouts yet this season?
No. He's actually cut down on his punch outs in the last two or three years.
So he went from 200 to 100.
Yeah, well, he went from 200 to about 170. The D-backs are playing the Mets. You're taking the Yankees, aren't you?
Yes, I'm taking the Bombers. Absolutely.
You know what? I'm gonna pass on that game. The Diamondbacks, Bronson Arroyo, who I'm glad we didn't get in San Francisco this year, although he's got a 4.45 ERA, that's manageable, but not with the D-backs when they're scoring 3.5 runs a game. The Mets have Montero going.
I see Matsuzaka.
Well, it's a doubleheader. That's the second game.
Oh, okay.
And then Sproul is facing Matuzaka.
Okay, yeah.
I think they're going to split it. I think Arroyo wins the first game. I think Matuzaka wins the second game. I'm going to call that a split.
Yeah,
I'm going to pass on it because I'd be happy if it was a split. It'd be great if you could bet it that way, but you can't. You
can't do that.
No,
yeah.
You can't do it.
I agree, though. I think this is a split. I wouldn't play either one.
All right, the Brewers have a rookie going, Nelson. Against Wolf, a left-hander who has been around, been around for a long time. The Marlins are on fire. Yeah. Wolf is on the mound. His brother is a major league umpire. So I'm gonna take the Marlins and
you're
Wolf.
Gonna take the pitcher who has a brother in the umpire.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's conspiracy theorist pick. Dodgers are at the Phillies. Burnett. Oh, Beckett and Burnett, they're best friends. They used to pitch for the Marlins back when the Marlins had those really good, the last time they won the World Series. Beckett and Burnett were 1-2. Now they're pitching against each other. Beckett got in trouble drinking beer in the clubhouse last year in L.A. And Burnett is just a freak. They can both – you know what they can both do? They can both hit the crap out of the ball. I'm going to bet that these two pitchers
– It's in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I know it is, and it's going to be hot today. I'm going to bet that both pitchers have a base hit today.
Huh.
And if you can get that play in Vegas, take
you
it.
Might be able to get that prop somewhere.
Even six is the pick. I'm passing on the game. It's a toss-up. Nationals are at the Pirates. The Nationals can't hit water if they fell out of a boat right now. They miss Ryan Zimmerman. They miss
Bryce Harper,
Adam LaRoche. I think LaRoche comes back today, though.
Who don't they miss? The whole
they miss everybody. They miss, oh, God, Bryce Harper. Yeah, how bad are you going to, you think Bryce Harper's pretty good? Yeah, I think he's
by
pretty
all the
good.
Time, if you watch TV and you watch the sports channels, I feel like every other commercial is Bryce Harper Gatorade hitting a baseball.
I'm tired of seeing that commercial. Like, and how does the Gatorade turn to ice so fast? I don't get that.
I don't know.
That's just not realistic.
It's one of the great mysteries of our day.
They're trying to mess me up. 10 years from now, that'll probably make me be violently ill watching that commercial. I'm not kidding either. I'm not. You got Fister against Liriano. Liriano hasn't looked that great.
No, yes.
The Pirates haven't looked that great, but they're playing the Nats. I'm taking the Pirates.
I'll take the Nationals simply because.
Well, let's do that for dinner.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you and I have to have a dinner meeting anyway. We talked about that.
The Nationals.
I'm buying you out, Roy.
This is game four of the series.
I don't have any money, but I'm buying you out.
That's fine. He doesn't need this is game four.
Will you take Bitcoins?
I will take bits of string.
If
we do accept bits of string.
Matt takes Bitcoins. He's probably one of those guys that
nerd.
Deals in trade. Hey, the Cubs are at the Padres. The Padres have played pretty well. Man. Kennedy's on the mound. Hamill for the Cubs pass. Anybody the Cubs? Cubs have been playing well. They've won two in a row, I think.
Yeah, they've almost won 20 games.
Yeah, the Padres are favored 7-8. They're down there in San Diego. Pass on the game. The Rockies are at the Braves. You got Julio Teheran, who actually pitched well last time out, not so well the time before. Mm-hmm. ERA 1.92. Kendry Morales is pitching for the Rockies. Take the Braves. That's probably
I like the Mariners.
The Mariners aren't playing in that game.
Seattle.
It's Rockies and the Braves.
Okay, you're right. I Googled something.
Roy, did you sneak some alcohol into the studio this morning?
I'm looking. All right,
I know it's a holiday weekend. What is that you're drinking?
On MLB.com, the Seattle game is right next to the Rockies game, and I'm
reading the New York Post sports page.
I was Googling Angela Rippon's boyfriend. Who?
Yeah, he's a pitcher for
Seattle.
No, he's not. Oh, that's right. You're right, Angela. You know who I was thinking of? Gretzky's. That's Johnson, the golfer.
So I was wrong.
He's a freak.
But I'll take the Braves.
Hey, Wainwright. Hey, you want to talk about a really good game? Cardinals Reds. You got Adam Wainwright, Mike Leake. Both are All Star pitchers as we speak. I'm going to pass on it because Mike Leake beat the Nationals pretty well last time out, which doesn't say a lot. Wainwright beats everybody.
I'll take Wainwright.
He's favored, but you know what the play would be? Leak. It's an 8:05 game. I'm passing on the game. You take whoever you want because I'm not playing with your
money. I'll take the Cardinals, but that for your money, it seems like the Reds are the better play.
Yeah, they are. Well, except Joey Votto's on the DL. Athletics are at the Blue Jays. You know what? The Cards are probably the play with Wainwright. Take them. 6-7. When do you get Wainwright 6-7? Never. I'm taking the Cardinals. I'm taking the Cardinals. I'm taking the Cardinals. Athletics, Blue Jays. You got Drew Pomerantz, was the number 2 pick in the draft about 3 or 4 years ago with the Athletics. God, they're good. You know, we had our buddy on TV last week that does the A's and the
his ERA LA's. Is almost he could probably get away with driving drunk with that ERA. He is 0.94.
Yeah, no, he's
that's almost legally not drunk in a car.
Well, you know what? He's yeah, but the Blue Jays are what?
You missed a decimal point there.
No, I know, I know.
The Blue Jays are hot. I'm going to pass on the game.
He's legally dead.
If you blow a .9, you're dead. But you know what I'm getting at here.
All right. Let's get back to the baseball. I'm getting sidetracked here listening to you clowns. Let's see. Athletics, Blue Jays, Rangers, Tigers. Verlander's pitching for the Tigers.
Yeah, give me Verlander.
Rangers have Lewis. I'm passing on this game.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I'll take Verlander. You know why? Texas has been slumping, man.
Rangers scored 12 last night. That's why I'm passing on the game, because they are streaky, and if they score 12, they could score 10 today. Verlander didn't look that good last time out.
Right.
I think he even got beat. Rangers or the Tigers? Yeah, you took the Tigers.
Yeah,
I'm passing on the game. Indians are at the Orioles. You got Gonzalez for the Orioles. You got Trevor Bauer for the Indians. The Indians are hot. He is the underdog. They just, you know, the Orioles just lost 9-0 last night. Take the Indians. They're on a roll.
The Orioles.
Oh, Tony. He's calling in at quarter till. That's right. Well, Tony will tell us who to take.
The Orioles in Baltimore. Camden Yards is right across the street from M&T Bank.
Are you taking that?
And all of Baltimore yesterday was focused on Maryland playing lacrosse. And I'm not,
I believe it.
Maryland likes lacrosse, okay? You just gotta accept that. So I'm willing to bet that there was nobody really in that stadium for the Orioles yesterday. So I'll take the Orioles today since Maryland is out.
All right,
out.
That's good. Red Sox hit the Rays. I'm passing on it. No, I'm not. I'm taking Odorizzi for the Rays.
Yeah,
he's almost a pick. The Royals are at the Angels. Vargas, who's on my team against Richards, I'm taking the Angels. Yeah. He's 6'7". That's a good play, by the way.
What about your Giants? Bumgarner versus Nolasco.
I'm passing on the game. Mm. I never take the Giants.
Don't want to jinx them.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute with more.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
When talking NFL sports and talking Cleveland sports in general, there is no better person to go to. But we will have that guy
jug
on next week, maybe, to talk about the best of college sports. In the meantime, we have our man, Tony Mazur.
Yeah, we're talking Cleveland sports. So everybody just, you know, take a seat and take it all in, because
this is my favorite.
This is my favorite segment every week when you're on. Tony, how are you? How are you, buddy?
Cleveland.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. I just don't understand why you want to talk about Cleveland.
Well, you know, because you're our guy.
Because I watched a video about a truck that prints T-shirts, and your brother was in it. And I have to get that interview.
Yeah, he's because I was doing some stuff that day, and my brother comes home, and he has my Johnny Manziel jersey and just, like, drapes it across. And I'm like, what are you doing with that? And he's like, I was in a TV commercial today. And I'm like, what were you doing? He's like, I was just running and chanting.
And giving the money sign. Giving the money sign. It's taken over Cleveland.
Yep. Hey, that's great. Hey, where are you headed now? You sound like you're on the road or something.
I got some errands I'm running today on a Sunday.
You know, is this family day? Do you celebrate with the family on weekends like this?
No, because usually we don't keep holy the Sabbath. We're always working or doing something, so it's no, it's just out and about for the day.
That's great. Now, you were working last night, and you weren't complaining either. I mean, you were, as everybody knows, and if you're listening, you're anywhere near Cleveland, even if you're not in Cleveland, you're a hell of a disc jockey is what I hear. And I heard that from somebody that's not you. I'm not even going to say who it was.
I heard it from Johnny Manziel.
Well, Johnny Manziel,
that's who told me.
I've heard he's already hammered a couple of the bars there already. Is that true?
He's probably closed out a few of them. I don't even think he's been in Cleveland for more than like a few hours already.
So he's already been hammered in Cleveland. That's what you're saying.
Well, Texas is a big state. You know, here's the thing. Two things are happening there. You obviously were all over this spoof with Manziel in the court situation, and the fact that it was, you know, bunch of crap. How did he get that far?
I think just because of who he is. He is now Cleveland's most high profile athlete, and I can't, maybe since, you can argue since Jim Brown, that there hasn't been a more talked about player in Cleveland sports. So that's why it just picks it up. And you know our culture, our TMZ culture, where it's the first thing that comes out, and ooh, let's try and see. Ooh, even if it's false, we want to make it so that it's true in people's minds. So then everyone's like, oh, what, sexual assault, Johnny Manziel? I don't like that guy. And that's just the way our media works nowadays, which is, you know, sad that I chose this career path.
So you just think that, you know, it was just somebody in the media that just kind of threw it out there, maybe?
Probably just do a money grab. It could be like something happened at a party, maybe down at Texas A&M, and they just went from there with like no details, no story. I mean, the story was just ridiculous.
No arrest, no warrant, you know, no charge, no nothing. But it goes all the way to court.
The woman being—I
mean, how terrible is it? You know what that goes to show you? There's too many attorneys in this world.
The woman being impersonated has a Georgia address. Johnny is from Texas,
right?
And the restraining order was filed in Florida. So, I mean, the whole thing was, it just smelled of bogusness.
They got it, you know what?
And hot dogs.
Hey, Tony, they have to find a Johnny Manziel lookalike down in Cleveland. I think that you know, here's what you should do. Wherever you do it, you need to have a Johnny Manziel lookalike contest, and you need to find a guy, swear to God, that looks almost identical to him, and just have him hang out. You know, wear the jersey and just get around.
Wear the Scooby-Doo costume.
There's a lot of goofy looking guys probably in Cleveland, aren't there?
Oh yeah, certainly. Channing Crowder was on his radio show in Miami talking about how ugly the women in Cleveland are, and this is what he said. He said Cleveland is the anus of America.
Is that what he said?
Oh yeah,
Channing Crowder
on his radio show.
Oh, that's
Channing Crowder. Yeah,
that's not
the Dolphins.
That's not nice.
Good for him though.
But it's true.
Well, hey, can I tell you? Did you hear Charles Barkley last week? Tony, on his show, wasn't that great?
San Antonio
talking about fat women down in San Antonio, which I'm quoting him,
double fisting quote unquote,
and he goes, "I'm not taking that back. There are some fat women down in San Antonio." I'm like, "What? Why are you guys talking about this? This is on what, TNT?"
Yeah, it was TNT.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Kenny, what's his name from Carolina or wherever the hell he played pro basketball? Yeah. Kenny Smith. I love Kenny Smith. All right, tell me, I want to talk about the Cleveland Indians are starting to play ball. What's going on?
Well, they're finally getting guys who can actually hit the ball. Look out for Michael Brantley. He is your fantasy guy. If you're looking for a fantasy guy and he hasn't been taken or someone's floating him in a trade because they don't know how to play fantasy sports, take Michael Brantley. This guy's an all-star. Corey Kluber is an ace, and the thing is, it all happened by accident, because Michael Brantley, remember, was a throw-in in the CC Sabathia trade. He was a player to be named later. Corey Kluber was a player that was just a minor leaguer in a Ryan Ludwig trade. So all this happened on accident for the Indians. They're playing better now. It's just the division is naturally, you know, isn't bad right now.
No, it's a tough division.
Chicago's not bad. Minnesota's not bad. Kansas City should be better. The Tigers have gone through a lull. The Indians are going through peaks and valleys. But Central's not too bad. Not as bad as it's been in recent years.
Boy, that Prince Fielder trade's looking a lot better for Detroit, isn't it? I mean, now that he's out for a year.
We still get all these people in Cleveland who call up sports talk shows and they say, Detroit's not that good. They lost their fielder. It's like, are you paying attention? Ian Kinsler's leading the American League in hitting right now. But no, that's okay. Prince Fielder was the reason for the success of the Tigers recently.
You know, it's sad to see that was his neck, that he hurt, because that's a pretty severe injury. And, we hope the best for him, because he's a pretty good ball player. But Texas is done. You know, this is Washington's last year. Even if he had a World Series type team. He couldn't coach him to a World Series title if his life depended on it. I've seen him coach at the next level. It's terrible.
So, Tony,
I'll give you a football example about Ron Washington.
Okay.
He's Jeff Fisher.
Hmm.
Or he's Marvin Lewis, where guys
Marvin Lewis. I like Jeff Fisher a little bit more. Marvin Lewis is just a slightly above average head coach. Don't you think?
Yeah, and you don't understand how he still has a job. And that's Ron Washington, where it's like because, you know, his kid wore the bald head back in the day, and, you know, it was kind of a rallying call. But he really isn't that great of a manager. He preached small ball and everything, but, these guys are hitting 30 home runs a year. It's not a small ball team. This is a team that needs to hit 3-run homers.
Yeah, Wash is a good assistant coach. By the way, I love the guy that played him in Moneyball. That was a great movie. And the thing about Wash, he's just good to have around, but he's not a head coach. You got to be a big picture guy if you're going to be a head coach. And if you look at all the great managers in baseball, even good managers. I mean, Ron Gardenhier. I mean, he's not, you know, that guy is a A-, B-plus kind of manager. He just happens to be in Minnesota, but he's done a lot more in Minnesota than anybody else could have done. I mean, he gives his team a chance to win. Wash loses more games than he wins. I mean, in my opinion, I've watched him coach. It is sad to watch. And now they're going to lose more games than they play. So I think he's going to be on his way out of Texas, to be honest with you.
That's true. Well, you mentioned Ron Gardenhier. I mean, you go, wow, that is consistency. They have only had two managers in the last almost 30 years. They had Tom Kelly and Ron Gardenhier, and they're all great managers. Not great teams, but great managers getting these guys to play.
So, Tony, what everybody wants to know is how the Cleveland Cavaliers were able to bribe one commissioner for so many years and get first round picks, and now in the first year of Adam Silver's year, how they were able to bribe him to win the lottery again for like the fourth time in like 5 years or something ridiculous. So what's going on with Cleveland, and how many four leaf clovers does this city have?
Well, you know what's interesting is we say it's like, God, how lucky can Cleveland be? Well, the Browns won a championship with Jim Brown in 1964, and they have not won anything since. We're on 50 years without a championship. We have three teams in this town, no championships since then. So we're not too lucky. And I think it was Scott Van Pelt said the other day, give Cleveland a chance. Like, they haven't won anything. And, three first overall picks in 4 years. There better be some improvement on this team.
You know, it's never going to be the Browns, unfortunately, either. And I wish it was.
Yeah, they made the bad decisions. They had a bad GM. They brought Mike Brown back, who was wrapped around Byron Scott. So basically, he was Mike Brown was like our Grover Cleveland. You know, he was the coach. Then he wasn't the coach. Then he was the coach again.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Mike Brown wasn't terrible. I thought he was pretty decent, but I mean, you can never get it right. Talk to me real quick about Lonnie Chisenhall. Is he getting better? He seems to be getting better.
Chisenhall's getting really good. The problem is Terry Francona has loyalty to his guys, and Chisenhall, to be honest, is not one of his guys, so he doesn't play against lefties. They say, well, he doesn't hit well against lefties. He doesn't hit against lefties anyways. You don't give him an opportunity.
Right.
So he has like a .370 batting average, but he doesn't have enough at-bats to qualify for a batting title.
Well, all he's got to do is stay. Let me ask you a question. Who's the other third baseman when he's not in there?
It's Carlos Santana.
Oh, that's right.
Who's hitting .150.
The guitarist?
Yeah, he's not doing so good. Hey, you should see the Nats. Look at the Nats numbers, the Nationals numbers. It's unbelievable. It's terrible. And you know what? The only team that's worse than them is the Yankees. You want to laugh? You want to laugh? Go add up the money the Yankees are paying the guys that are hitting under 200. It's got to be almost $1 billion. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It's like with Nick Swisher here. Nick Swisher isn't that good. But you know what? They have a Bro-Hio bobblehead night coming up. Where he does the O-H-I-O on the bobblehead.
Right.
This thing, I mean, for a 200 hitter, he gets this Bro-Hio campaign where all these Ohio State fans are also Indians fans, and they wear this shirt with the state of Ohio wearing a pair of aviators that says Bro-Hio, and they do the, you know, the O-H, and everyone else does I-O. And that's what he does after he hits a home run, which, of course, doesn't happen very often.
Hey, Tony, listen, we're going to have to go. We got 30 seconds, but I want to thank you so much for coming on the show like you always do every time we ask. You really keep us straight up in Cleveland, Ohio. And, Tony, while you're out there running around today, today Memorial Day or this Memorial Day weekend is about all the people that have given their lives to this country.
Throw up the money signs, buddy. Go Cleveland.
All right, buddy. We'll see you later. We'll be back next week for more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, AM 1230, WFAS.